But we have a New York Times bestselling author on, and I am going to go ahead and bring Martin Root in. Martin, good evening.
Hi.
How are you?
Good evening. Great. How are you?
I'm great. Let me tell our listeners just a little bit about you, because you have quite an incredible biography. Martin is an international speaker and consultant. He's the co-author of the New York Times business bestseller Chicken Soup for the Soul at Work, with sales of over a million copies. As a president of Livelihood, a management consulting firm in Santa Fe, New Mexico, Martin explores the deeper meaning of work and its contribution to society. Martin has helped corporations like Sony Pictures, Southern California Edison, Virgin Records, Apple Computer expand their outlook. He addressed the Corporate Leadership and Ethics Forum of the Harvard Business School, returning four consecutive years in a row as a keynote speaker. My goodness. Martin is committed to reconnecting business with its natural source of creativity, innovation, and compassion. His pioneering work on spirituality in the workplace was featured on the ABC TV special Creativity, Touching the Divine. He has been a speaker at all six international conferences on spirituality and business in Mexico, and has also spoken at conferences on this topic in Canada, the USA, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, and New Zealand. Martin is also the founder and chair of the board of the Center for Spirituality and the Workplace at the Sobey School of Business, St. Mary's University, Halifax, California. Articles on his innovative work have appeared in the Miami Herald, the Wall Street Journal, South China, Morning Post, Personal Journal, U.S. News, and World Report, and the Boston Globe. For over 15 years, he's been exploring people's vision for the kind of world they truly long for. He calls this project Heaven on Earth. He has been happily married to Maida for 39 years. Welcome, Martin. We're delighted to have you.
Very
Thank you.
Impressive.
Thank you. Thank you. Can I just do one little correction? You said you skipped over, but that the center was in California. It's not. Hmm. It's in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Halifax, Canada. Thank you for making that correction. I appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Well, yeah.
I just read your biography, but how in the world does a person get involved in spirituality and business? I know we're going to really focus on Project Heaven on Earth, but just tell us a little bit briefly about that.
Well, it started in the late 80s, and I was, as you said, I'd been speaking at Harvard, I'd spoken in Hong Kong, and I went into a real funk, and I didn't know what the source of it was, and I went to a retreat center north of Toronto when I was still living in Canada, and I had a very profound epiphany experience, and I decided that I wanted to talk about spirituality and work, and in those days in Canada, I mean, you could not talk about that topic. Everybody thought I was crazy.
Oh,
because, you know, well, yeah, you're going to proselytize, and which was not my intention at all. But so over the years, what I did was I developed a way of looking at spirituality and work so that people don't get turned off by it. And we say that rather than it being an answer that I'm going to, you know, in essence, shove down your throat, really what it is, we think, is an exploration or an inquiry. And if you're interested in exploring it, however you want to explore it, we're happy to help you do that.
Oh, great. Wonderful. And obviously, since the late 80s, you've been doing this, and you're a pioneer in the field. How's it going? I mean, how are you seeing that this is being received?
You know, in the early days, Michelle, it was very, very out there. You know, the fear was proselytizing, that you're going to come in with a religious agenda behind
right.
the scenes, which was not true for us, but people were still afraid of that,
sure.
Especially in this country, separation of church and state. But I think underneath all of that, that there is a real hunger to have the spiritual dimension of people fulfilled and nourished in some way in this place called work. We can certainly do it at the places of religion, like churches, synagogues, mosques. We can do it in our home, but we can't do it at work. And so I wanted to get at how could we do it at work for those who wish to do it. Obviously, we're not going to impose it. And so what's happened over the years is many major things. We've had, as you in your introduction, conferences all over in the world on this. There are graduate programs and there are undergraduate programs. Our center at the Sobey School of Business at St. Mary's University in Halifax in Canada, which is the leading business school in Eastern Canada. We now have two undergrad programs. I think we've graduated five or six PhD students. They're doing
wow.
research.
Yeah.
There's a journal, there's an academic journal out of Britain called the Journal of Management, Spirituality, and Religion. And I think, you know, from a 30, 40,000 foot view, I think it's more and more an acceptable conversation at work. So that 20 years ago when we spoke about work, we could speak maybe about my career. We can certainly speak about traditional business topics such as marketing and finance and human resources. But there were certain things we couldn't talk about. And so over years, things like, you know, I do drugs, I'm an alcoholic, I'm gay, women in the workplace, all of those issues, which, oh my God, you can't talk about that, you can't talk about that. But we found ways, or racial issues, we found ways to talk about those issues in a way that was useful both for the individual and the enterprise, so that now, you know, those issues are just part of what it means to be at work, and they're incorporated, and people get on with their work life. This, I think, is the last bit on that spectrum, and the way we're wanting to bring it in is respectfully and naturally, organically. We do not want to impose it. Only if people want to engage with us do we want them to. In no way is there a sense of force or have to or should. And if you do it that way and people really believe that, and they get to know us and they can see that that's accurate, then, I mean, it's like the dam breaks and they really want to talk about it from whatever perspective makes sense to them. Because that for us is the entry point. Whether they define spirituality and work as ethics or morality or love or compassion. We had a woman once. I did a talk. She was so interesting. I went around and I asked the participants, you know, what is spirituality in the workplace for you? And the typical answers that you would imagine: ethics, morality, compassion, love, caring for others, values, morality. But this one woman said, better drinks in the soft drink dispenser. And
oh, wow.
I know. And after we had gone through the whole room, and I came back to her and I said, could you help me understand how does that have anything to do with spirituality workplace? And she said, well, isn't it obvious to you, Martin? I said, no. She said, look, if people go and drink, you know, sodas that are full of sugar and garbage and not good for them, their bodies won't be healthy and their spirits won't have a place to reside. And she taught me a very important lesson that if you come in with the answer, this is spirituality, and try to shove it down people's throat, it's not going to work. But if you ask them, what is it for you, they'll tell you. And then once they tell you and they see that it's all right, then they begin to engage. And our intention is that they broaden and deepen their experience of what that means for them in their workplace.
Awesome. That is terrific.
You know, 20 years ago, if we mentioned spirituality at work, or, you know, your experience and my experience, Michelle, we would have been seen as weak.
And, you know, Martin, owning a company, and at the time that I left the agency 6 years ago, we had 70 employees. There are certain things in America you can't say, or you couldn't back then say at work, or you would get sued. And I feel, since the fall of 2008 and really everything that's happened in America in business, that this is a welcome topic and a welcome opportunity to really revisit all the things that you've mentioned, ethics and morals and standards, but it's bigger than that. It really is bigger than that. And really what we're finding out, or what I'm finding out in my research, as you know, I'm working on a book, Being the Buddha Boss, what I'm finding out is doing good is also helping your bottom line. I mean, if you have a happy employees, and like you said, Martin, they come to work 18 hours a day, they bring themselves and all of their ethics and standards and morals and character to work. And I'm finding in my research that they want to have an open dialogue. They don't want a religious talk, religion dogma. They want an open dialogue about a higher power or higher place. And so it's a very interesting topic.
And when they realize, just to add to that, when they realize that it can be an acceptable conversation without dogma, it's like this light bulb goes on. I never knew we could talk about that in the workplace. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that.
Right.
And so this is giving people permission and safety to have that conversation in the workplace if they choose. If they don't choose, fine.
Right. And it could be as simple as when Buddha said there are three things that you should always ask yourself before you speak. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it okay to say. You know, I mean, so it's very easy to bring in some just some basic concepts.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that you really want to talk about heaven on earth.
Well, I do, but before I do that, can I just do a little plug here?
Sure.
Our center, the Center for Spirituality in the Workplace, has launched a new creative video contest. Actually, this is one of our board members, a fourth-year student, who said, you know, all this new media, social media that's going on, we should use it somehow. We should be involved with it. So she came up with the idea of a creative video contest in which we're asking people to make a short video, 3, 5, 7 minutes, about either what spirituality and work is for you or how would you support and nourish it. It costs nothing to enter, no charge to enter, and there are three prizes, $7,500, $3,500, and $2,000.
Awesome.
And so if people want to find out more, they can go to spiritatworkcreativevideo.com, spiritatworkcreativevideo.com, and the at is the word at, not the sign. So spiritatworkcreativevideo.com, and they can get all the information there.
Spiritatworkcreativevideo.com.
Right.
Okay, great. Well, that is wonderful. That is terrific. So it's just whatever you think spirituality is at work, 3 to 5 minute video.
Yep. And what we want you to do as well is make it go viral. You know, we want people's creative expression on this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just well. Perla, we'll have to tell everyone at the ad agency and all those creative minds.
Oh, yeah, they love producing that type of thing. You know, we've done a couple of projects like that.
Perfect.
That would be terrific. Well, thank you for letting us know about that. So let's get to this project that is close to your heart, Project Heaven on Earth. First of all, what is it?
I was doing a keynote address about 15 years ago on spirituality and work. And just before I was going, I was in the room by myself, just a little side room, just kind of thinking, being quiet. And I said, if every business in the world is spiritual or becomes spiritual, is that what you want, Martin? And I thought, no. If we can transform every business can be spiritual. And because business is the temporal power in the world today, if we could transform business, we could transform the world. And then this thought came into my head, oh, you mean heaven on earth. And I thought, oh, my God, you can't say that. And then I can remember sitting there thinking, why not? I can certainly talk to you about hell on earth. That's an acceptable conversation. So why not heaven on earth? And so what these last 10, 15 years have been about is an inquiry into really what I call people's vision for the kind of world they want. They're deep, deep longing for the kind of world they want and how they can get into action to begin to make that happen. And so at its heart, that's what Project Heaven on Earth is about.
Well, that is exciting. Well, how do people get involved or discover what Heaven on Earth is for them?
There's a couple of simple ways. One is, and I can do this little exercise with you, I've got three simple questions. So can I ask the two of you the questions?
Sure, of course.
Oh, yeah. Huh?
Okay, all right. Tell me a time when you experienced heaven on earth.
Perla, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
You go.
The birth of my children.
Mm-hmm.
My two boys. That was heaven on earth.
Perla?
Oh, gosh. Family events, like holidays, like Christmas holiday. I remember one especially when we were very little.
So thank you for answering that question. Here's what's really interesting. My question to you was, tell me a time when you experienced heaven on earth. And you answered beautifully, the birth of my two children, and the Christmas parties, particularly one when I was a young girl. I remember that very well, as Perla said. What both of you did not do, which is so interesting to me, and people just do not do this, you didn't say to me, Martin, what do you mean by heaven on earth? And what's surprising to me is people never ask that question. So it says to me that there's some part of you that already knows what heaven on earth is. And when I ask you the question, tell me a time when you experienced heaven on earth, you search through your history. And Michelle, for you, it was the birth of the two children. Mm-hmm. And Perla, for you, it was the Christmas party. And the same thing happens when I ask countless, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. They just answer the question. So it tells me, number one, that you do know. You've had an experience.
Right.
All right. Question two. Here's a magic wand. Pretend you have a magic wand. And with this magic wand, you can create and have heaven on earth. What is heaven on earth for you?
For me, heaven on earth would be helping with the foundation that I have in Juarez and the girls that are experiencing so much violence and murder. Heaven on earth for me would be to eradicate violence against women.
Great.
I would go a little further, and I would just say, you know, I don't know if this is possible, but how about eradicating all illnesses?
Good.
That would be heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm. Here's what's interesting to me, ladies. I get very emotional when I hear people's answer because, and see if this is true, what I'm about to say. Where you answered that from was a very, very, very deep place of the soul. Mm. So for Michelle, it was the eradication of violence against women. For Pearl, it was the eradication of all illnesses. Now, you also said, I think it was Perla, you know, I don't know if this is possible or not, but let us imagine that you walked out of the room that you're in right now, Perla, and there was a person standing there with a silver platter, and on that platter was the end of all illnesses. Would you take it?
Oh, yes.
And I'm assuming, Michelle, you take the same, violence against women.
Of course.
So when we ask that question, I give you the magic wand. What the magic wand does is it eradicates the need to know how you're going to do it.
Mm.
And if you don't need to know how you're going to do it, then the what can just explode and flower, rather, is a better word. It can flower. And so you say the end of all illnesses, or you say the eradication of violence against women. So you do know what it is.
Mm.
And so then the third question would be, remember the first question was, tell me a time when you experienced heaven on earth. Second question is, here's a magic wand. You can have heaven on earth. What is that for you? And then the third question is, what simple, easy, concrete step will you take in the next 24 hours to make that vision happen?
Well, for me, it's the continuation of my small part that I do in Ciudad Juarez and helping educate the sisters of the murdered girls in Juarez. That's what I would do.
Just because we're going to link this, so people who are not in El Paso don't know, Ciudad Juarez is the city across the border.
Right. For about the last 10 to 15 years, over 900 women between the ages of 12 and 24 have been murdered simply going to back and forth to work or to school, and these women have, or these girls have, one thing in common. They're from very poor families. And so, unfortunately, for a number of years, Mexico has done nothing about these murders. And my foundation isn't about solving who killed these girls. My foundation is about bringing comfort and closure to the family. At first, through forensic identification, we brought a forensic artist, Frank Bender, down from Philadelphia, who put faces on the murdered girls' skulls. And we were able to do a circular through the country of Mexico and have people say, that might be my daughter, and go to a federal building to give their DNA. And we were able to have some real identifications and have some comfort and closure. I lost a daughter. I had a daughter that died. I understand what that's like. But I would not be able to sleep if I didn't know, is she okay? Is she not? So then the second phase is educating the sisters of these girls, because the only way Mexico is going to change, I think, is through the education of women. And even though Juarez is in Mexico, pardon me, it's probably from our studio tonight, it's probably 2 miles. I mean, I can see it from my window. So those of you that are listening, and we have listeners from all over America, I know that we have a favorite listener that called in from Virginia, John over in California. I've actually heard people say, well, why don't you help people in your own backyard? Well, I am, actually.
You can see their homes right from here, yeah.
And
yeah.
So that continues to be my passion. And so I have concrete steps on what I'll do in the next 24 hours to continue that movement.
Good. Thank you. And Perla?
You know, my most powerful tool when I feel like there's nothing I can do, I don't have enough money, I can't throw money at this, my most powerful tool is prayer.
Good, 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 good. So, thank you both. Let me just, for the listeners, the first question was, tell me a time when you experienced heaven on earth. The second question is, here's a magic wand, you can have heaven on earth. What is heaven on earth for you? And the third question is, what simple, easy, concrete steps will you take in the next 24 hours to move that forth? Mm-hmm. So you can see that what we've done with three very simple questions is get people in touch with the fact that they have had an experience of heaven on earth. Secondly, that they do know deep in their souls what heaven on earth is for them. And so I want to bring that out and make that normal, common conversation. You know, what are you doing to help co-create heaven on earth? And the third thing is I don't want people to get overwhelmed with, oh, my God, it's too much, I can't do anything. A tiny, tiny little step can make a huge difference. I'll give you an example. And, Michelle, it's interesting that you would pick violence against women. I did a teleconference once on heaven on earth, and on the call was a woman. We were talking about the sufferings in the world. This is what the one particular aspect we happen to be looking at in this call. And she said violence against women, exactly what you said. She's in Canada, and the violence against women in her particular county, Lunenburg County in Nova Scotia, Canada, the province of Nova Scotia, and she'd been to the police, she'd been to the government, da-da-da-da-da, nothing, it was not moving. And then she got a little huffy with me, and she said, well, what would you do, Martin? And I said, well, Susan, I mean, I don't know your financial situation, you could donate $5,000, you could donate a penny. And she said, well, what difference would a penny make? And one of the other women on the phone call said, look, what if everybody in Lunenburg County donated a penny a day to help end violence against women? And she went, oh, my God. Last October, they launched a program called Making Change, in which they handed out a little glass jar with a woman's face on it, half of her face beaten up, the other face, you know, the other half rather, radiant, alive, joyful. They started giving it out, and it's gone, well, viral is not a good word, but it's gone viral. And the people in the next county have taken this on as well. So
amazing.
Isn't it amazing? And the sense that there is nothing I can do, the problem is too big, it's overwhelming, if you multiply we're almost 7 billion people now in the world saying, for example, there's nothing we can do about violence against women, then there isn't anything.
Right.
Or if we say, how about donating a penny a day or more? You can't give me a check. You can't give her a check for $3.65 and say, okay, that's my contribution for the year. No. A penny or more a day so that it's in your consciousness day by day by day. And that, for her, is the way it changed.
Wonderful.
Isn't it? It just, and because what it said to me was how powerful even a simple idea is in terms of being able to change something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it goes back to we're responsible to make this world work and to play our part in it. And that is a great example of how one person can make a difference.
We just got to get started. Just do one little thing.
And
I'll give you another example. There was a real estate agent, we were talking, and I said, you know, what's the suffering in the world that's bothering you? And she said, homelessness. And it was like I punched her in the stomach. I mean, her face went white, and, I mean, you could see that homelessness really, really bothered her. I mean, clearly, you know, she's a real estate agent.
Oh, right.
So I said, well, okay, so what are we going to do about it? And she, oh, no, Martin, you don't understand. You know, I'm in a relationship. I work 80 hours a day. You're not a real estate agent. You know how difficult it is, how many hours, da-da-da-da-da. I said, okay, Brenda, put that aside. Now, what are you going to do? And this little light bulb went on. She went back to her agency. She sat them down, a small little agency, and she said, all right, folks, there's about 8 or 10 agents. Here's what I'd like to do. I want to end homelessness. And what that means is a home for everyone. How we're going to do that easily is that when you sell a house or a building, I'd like you to kick in $100 from your commission to this pot. So really, it's like you have to do like nothing. Just agree to it, and it'll be automatically done. They've raised $50,000 already.
Wow.
They've just launched a program. They're going to take $30,000 of that, and give it to the one or more organizations that do the most to end homelessness. So, you know, the examples, what Project Heaven on Earth for me is it's kind of like the metaphor is like a piece of software. Say you go down today and you buy a piece of software for your computer. You come back, you stick it in your computer, it boots up. And what every software program does is it gives you a new sense of opportunities, new sense of possibilities that didn't exist before. But then the program stops and it says, look, I can't continue until you put your own content in, until you put Michelle content or Perla content or Martin, right? That's what Project Heaven on Earth is. It's saying to the world, the dream that you have for the kind of world you want, now is the time. Now is the time we can start. We've already started, but we need your unique contribution.
Well, I think the wonderful thing about this project also that people won't even realize until they get into it is how it changes you in such a meaningful way.
Mm.
Because I don't know about you, Pearl, or you, Martin, but my most important days of my life are not winning awards or, you know, getting accounts or, you know, having my books published. It's just the way that I feel when I help someone. You think you're helping them, but they're really helping you in a way that's just so deep and just evoking this meaningful energy.
The creativity that emerges when people get this about heaven on earth. And again, it's not me telling you what heaven on earth is. It's me evoking what heaven on earth is already within you.
Right.
When they get it, I'll give you, what's another example I can give you? Oh, a very simple one. A woman here in Santa Fe. A couple of years ago, I did a presentation. She saw it on Heaven on Earth. She had this brilliant idea. It was a couple of months before Christmas. She wrote 70 members of her family.
Oh.
And she said, tell me, you know, in a couple of words, a sentence, just a couple of sentences at the most, what is heaven on earth for you? 40 of those people wrote back, and that became her Christmas letter to all 70.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. What a great idea.
Well, I have an email from a listener, Martin, and the question is, Martin, heaven on earth for me is to be debt-free. How can I transform that thought into a meaningful experience?
Well, into a meaningful experience, I think you've already answered. Is it a he or she who's written this?
Pat.
This is Pat. Pat. This is like a Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Pat, I don't know if you're a man or a woman. But, I mean, the meaningful experience for me in the question that you asked would be, what does debt-free mean to you?
Mm.
And what simple steps in the next 24 hours could you take to begin to move that forward even a little bit more than what you have? You know, when you take a huge ocean liner, think of a huge oil tanker at sea and you want to change its direction, you don't just go up and go and it changes direction. It takes like 5 or 6 miles till the rudder gets that power and starts to shift the ship, and then it will change. So if your intention is to be debt-free, I'm with you. How do you get more income? How do you cut your costs?
Mm-hmm.
How do you double your income this year, you know, in less time? Just begin to ask creative questions that are outside the norm for you.
Mm-hmm. And so do you find when you're speaking to people that do people always equate heaven on earth? Like Pearl and I immediately went to helping somebody else. I mean, and then Pat brings in a very real thought, which so many people are facing. There's so many people that have been out of work for so long, and obviously Pat brings this, you know, to be debt-free means, you know, you have a job. And so what do people, what are some of the other answers that people would invoke when you're asking this question?
It's a good question. What's happened over the years of me doing this question and finding the answers is that there are patterns that have emerged. So generally there are four arenas of answer. First one, not the first one, but A1, one is not better than the other, is internal. And those people say, in order for me to experience heaven on earth, I have to experience it internally first.
Mm.
So they will do things that create more heaven on earth experience, whether that's art or dancing or walking in nature, whatever brings you more experience of heaven on earth, you'll do more of that, and or you'll go to cut the portions of your life or within that are not heaven on earth. So trauma, you know, you'll go to personal growth workshops, you'll read self-help books, you'll pray. That erases or diminishes the amount of not heaven on earth within you. So the first is those people who say it's within me. Another group is those who say the way you create heaven on earth is by looking out in the world and ending a suffering. So the suffering could be, as we said earlier, violence against women. It could be ending all illness. It could be ending illiteracy, hunger, war, poverty, those kinds of major sufferings. And there'll usually be a suffering that will really touch people deeply. So for you, Perla, for example, it was all illness, and for you, Michelle, it was violence against women. So if it's a suffering, there's usually what I call a keystone suffering, that is the suffering, which if this suffering goes, all the other ones will collapse. And so you want to support them in doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or making an institution of society work, or making a country work. Then there's people who say heaven on earth is about relationships, relationship with yourself, with another, or with the divine. And so either, you know, you're experiencing that in those three arenas of relationship, or if you're not, you got to clean it up.
Mm.
And the fourth one is the people who say, look, this is heaven on earth right here, right now, but our belief is that it's not. And our belief that it's not is so powerful that it prevents us from seeing what's actually true and alive right here. So those are the four major arenas, inner, outer, relationship, and now. And what I say to people is it doesn't matter which one you're in, and you could also change during life. You know, a certain period of your life you're very inner, another period you're very outer. It doesn't matter to me. What matters is that there is something that you say, this is heaven on earth, and what I'm going to do is play my part in helping co-create heaven on earth by contributing to this.
That, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to remind our listeners you can call and ask Martin a question at 760-542-4307. And our regular listeners know you can email me at michelle@michellecromer.com. And we have a chat room going on right now live also. And I have a question. How can a nation, can a company, can a group of people ask themselves and work together for heaven on earth? Is that possible?
It is, and I tell you, when I was thinking about this years ago, I hadn't thought about nations at all, and I was with a friend of mine in Canada who's a writer, and he said, well, you know, well, what about heaven on earth for nations? And I went, oh my God, how can we do that? I don't know. And so he said, well, it seemed pretty easy to me. Why don't you just write, you have friends all over the world, Martin? I said, yes. Why don't you write them and ask them what heaven on earth is for their country? And people wrote in, and it was incredible, just incredible. I remember one guy wrote in, and it's not exact, but you'll get the sense here. Yehuda Stoloff from Israel wrote in that heaven on earth is realizing, I can't remember the exact quote, but you'll get the notion here, realizing that some people are lions and some people are lambs, and that, in fact, we're both.
Mm.
He was getting at the Israelis think this about the Palestinians, you know, you're bad and we're good. The Palestinians think the Israelis are bad and they're good. And he was saying, no, underneath both of that, we're both human beings. That's what needs to work here. So, yes, you can think very clearly about, I mean, the simple question would be, here's a magic wand. What is heaven on earth for your country? Mm. And it is very clearly possible to do that. I've seen hundreds of answers around that. I should also tell you, we should also just mention that we have a Facebook group called Project Heaven on Earth.
Okay.
And a website called Project Heaven on Earth, so people can go there and check that out. So both Project Heaven on Earth for both Facebook and the website.
Is it projectheavenonearth.com or .org?
Yep. .com, sorry. Yep.
Okay, great.
And so you had asked about, and companies too, yeah. So the question for a company would be the same thing. Here's a magic wand. What is heaven on earth for our company?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, very powerful question, just to ask that question and to listen to what people say and not try to disprove them or make them wrong, but just allow for that conversation to go on. I remember in the same vein, I did a workshop on Heaven on Earth, and there's a woman who stood up and said, "Heaven on Earth for me is love. If we have love in the world, that will solve everything." And then following her, a guy stood up and he said, "Heaven on Earth is the end of hunger. If we end hunger in the world, it'll all work." And then they started to get into it, right?
Oh.
"No, no, it's about love. No, 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 it's about ending hunger. No, no, it's about..." And I said, "Stop, stop, stop. If what we do here is each of you is trying to convince the other one that they're wrong and your solution is the correct one, then that's one of the ills of the world right now, that we're going around trying to prove the other guy right, and we're we're right. What if everybody in this room supported this particular woman in bringing love to the world, and what if everybody in this room supported this particular guy in bringing the end of hunger to the world? Wouldn't that be a better way to move forward?" And so the same thing about a company or a country, that there are going to be different ways that people look at what heaven on earth is for them. But if you go underneath and allow for that underneath, that transcendent underneath, it's very, very powerful.
It is very powerful. And you could do that for the world.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked into the website, Project Heaven on Earth, and you have a section called Prayer and Affirmations.
Yes. Yep, because for some people, like for you, Perla, the way that they bring about heaven on earth is through those two methods.
Yeah. You said a story in here about a particular sister who was in her 90s, and her work every day was to pray for others. Wow. My hero.
She was, I still think she's alive. She was in her 90s when I met her, and she prayed like, I think, 6 to 8 hours a day. That was her job.
Oh.
And I felt so honored, is not even the right word, to be with her. She was incredible.
Yeah. Oh my
wow.
Goodness.
Wow.
That is incredible.
So if you come from the context of what I'm here to do is to help co-create heaven on earth, then whatever your contribution is, you know, whether it's smiling at two people a day or ending hunger in the world, it from the context of that's my contribution to helping co-create heaven on earth, it makes a difference, because only you can do that.
Right, and we don't understand how important a smile can be at someone that's behind the counter at a Target. You don't know what that could mean to someone, and I think that kind of emotion, the evoking of that, is so incredibly powerful.
We have no idea of how powerful we are. You know, I remember the story of the three women. There were three housewives in Ireland, this was about 15 years ago, and they were bugged by landmines in the world. They saw the horror of landmines and what a terrible, terrible weapon that was. They decided to create a treaty, a global treaty, for the end of landmines. Now, these were Irish housewives from Ireland who knew nothing about landmines, who were never in the military. What right did they have to go and do this? Except nobody told them.
Right, exactly, right?
And they went and did it, and they won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, my gosh.
So we have no idea the power of the individual or the group or the community to have the kind of world we want. And so the basis of this work is to unleash the new narrative, the new story of what it means to be a human and what it means to be humanity. And I think this is the time. There's just so much negativity, and this doesn't work and that doesn't work, and you can be completely overwhelmed by it. And what difference can I make? Well, if you multiply that by 7 billion people, we can't. Or we can say, like these housewives did, "I don't know how we're going to do this. We're just going to do this. You don't know how you're going to end violence in Ciudad Juarez."
Right.
Well, so, but if you knew, you would have done it.
Right, exactly. And sometimes when you have an idea that is at the right place at the right time, people just show up in your path. And I remember the night that I decided that I was going to help the women in Juarez. I speak Spanish badly, and I don't know anybody in the government in Mexico. And Perla, do you remember I called you?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I made one phone call to you because you get political people elected on this side of the bridge. And 7 days later, I was sitting down with the Attorney General of Mexico. So, yeah.
I just happened to have a contact who had a contact. And yeah, that's
and everyone, you know, just got on board. And Perla and I have a friend who is a very prominent attorney in politics. And he said, we've been trying to do this for years. Michelle, who do you think you are that you could do this? And then 7 days later, I'm with the Attorney General of Mexico, and we're making this stuff happen. It was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Exactly it. We have no idea of what can happen when we unleash the potential. It's part of the excitement for me is, I mean, I love this thing, you can tell, but when I hear the creative answers, the creative solutions and programs and ideas, like the penny a day to end, to help end violence against women, that's so brilliant to me.
It's brilliant and simple, and that's why it worked.
Yeah.
Because, you know, simple ideas have such power. Well, Martin, has anyone asked you what your heaven on earth is, or is it this project that you're...
It is. No, it is this project. It is that... a little emotional here, that people realize that this world, the way it is fine. There's some phenomenal things, but there are also some things that are not life-affirming, that are not life-nourishing, and that we can unleash a tremendous creative potential and implementation so that we can not only create this new story, but we can actually live this new story. And the more examples we have of you doing the stuff in Ciudad Juarez, you know, if you say this is my contribution to heaven on earth, or Pearl, if you said eradicating all illness, that's my contribution to heaven on earth, somebody's got to start. When Lech Wałęsa, who did Solidarity in Poland, I remember years ago, he was a welder in Gdańsk, Poland. The communists, the Russians were in the country. They'd controlled the country for years. Their troops were physically in the country. You dared not speak against them. And he said, we're going to have democracy come to Poland. What? No. Well, now look. So, yes, my heaven on earth is that people get that they can have heaven on earth here. See, one of the things about heaven, what I've been looking at, is really interesting. The notion of heaven implies, when I ask people, so, you know, tell me what heaven is, most people will say that heaven is not here and not now. It's after death. It's up in the sky where God and the angels live. Well, I don't know about that, but sure, that's fine. But who says it cannot be here?
Right.
Do you think God wants us to go around killing people and killing those women and see that, you know, whereas and having wars and people? It makes no sense to me. No sense, especially when you know it doesn't have to be that way.
Right, exactly. And listeners, I want you to think, you know, not everyone has to start a foundation in Juarez. What you can do, simply what Martin said, you can make a difference with someone with a simple smile. And my friend Carolyn Mace, who endorsed my last book, told such a powerful story one time. There was a woman that was at a stoplight, and she saw a man on a corner, and he was about to step into the street, and she stopped and kind of bent over so he could see her in the windshield, and she smiled. And that man told Carolyn Mace that he stepped into the street because he was thinking to himself, now how am I going to kill myself today? Am I going to have pills? Am I going to shoot myself? He's already gone to I'm going to kill myself, that he was asking himself how. And this woman, who he never knew and never saw again, simply smiled at him. And the smile that she had must have contained such grace that this man said, wait a minute, I need to rethink this. And he did not kill himself. We don't know the power that we have. We just don't know what a simple act can make such a difference to somebody.
Let me ask you or tell you another story for me. Let me say that I'm speaking just to the two of you. I know there's a radio audience listening, but just to Pearl and Michelle about heaven on earth. And I ask the two of you to speak to two people tomorrow, and you agree to do that. And those two people, you ask them to speak to two people the next day. So once you've spoken to two people the following day, your job is over. And let us say that everybody in the world does that, participates in that. And there are 7 billion people in the world.
Wow.
How many days, how many months, how many years, how many centuries, how much time would it take, do you think, to do that? To cover the whole world?
Gosh, I don't even know. I have no idea.
Take a guess.
It's like a pay it forward concept.
It is. But take a guess in terms of how much time.
Two people times exponentially two, like that?
Exactly.
I would say 3 years.
3 years. Perla?
Yeah, I was thinking more like a year, over a year.
How's 32 days?
Oh, wow. My gosh. Wow, that's amazing. 32 days.
A little over a month. 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256. If you watch it and just do it on a little calculator, it's incredible. 32 days. That's it.
That is
wow.
That is powerful. So, okay, listeners, tell two people tomorrow. We have another question, Martin,
yep.
And that is, what is the deadline for the Spirit at Work Create a Video Contest?
April 2nd.
April 2nd, listeners. Okay. You have plenty of time to get out there and get creative.
Let me do a little plug. So that's Spirit at Work Create a Video. And then we have ProjectHeavenOnEarth.com and on Facebook, Project Heaven on Earth. And I would love to hear from people, especially on Facebook. Just tell me what heaven on earth is for you. I post something there 5 days a week. And when I started doing this about a year or a year and a half ago, I thought, oh, my God, I'll never have enough stuff. I have so much stuff, so many ideas. There's so much going on out there now.
Oh, there is so much going on. And do you have any sort of conferences or workshops, or where can people follow you in the movement? Is that through the website?
Through the website and through Facebook, yeah.
Through Facebook, great, terrific.
Actually, there's another thing they can do. I just did a very interesting interview, an hour interview, with a guy named Dr. Nicholas Beecroft. He's a psychiatrist in London, England, and he's doing a study into the future of Western civilization.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. I was like, whoa. Anyway, he interviewed me, and if you go on Nicholas Beecroft, so Nicholas, like St. Nicholas, N-I-C-H-O-L-A-S, and Beecroft is B-E-E-C-R-O-F-T, you can see the three little 20-minute videos, and they're also on YouTube. So that's another way that people can just get a little more deepened into this. And really, what you can do, listeners, is very simple. It's just go through the three questions. Tell me a time when you experienced heaven on earth. Here's a magic wand. You can have heaven on earth. What is heaven on earth for you? And what simple, easy, concrete steps will you take in the next 24 hours to begin to make that happen? So the idea here is that what we're doing is creating the next evolution in the story of what it means to be a human and what it means to be humanity. And that this time now, with the internet, with the global connection, with, you know, you and I doing this thing, or the three of us doing this thing in over the radio here, and phone, we have the technology. We can take it to the next level, and you can make a difference. If you come from, here's one thing that I'm going to do to help co-create heaven on earth, just watch what that will do to you and to others, and let me know what it is, because we want to spread it around.
And like you said earlier, there are the internal, there's the looking outward for, you know, like ending suffering, there's the relationship, and then there's the here and now. So perhaps you want to have a better relationship with your family, with your coworkers, with people in general. You know, that's your heaven on earth. Or maybe you want to stop the suffering of, I know, Perla, your service always surrounds animals. So maybe that's something that listeners that you could get involved with, a shelter for animals or whatever it is. It just takes one or two really concrete ideas, and then you're off to the races.
And just doing it is hard. Just do it, because that's the first step.
That's the first step. The first step is thinking how you want to make that difference, how you want to bring heaven on earth, and then the action part of it. So
and we don't want the action to be difficult. We want it to be, and it can be, But it can also be very, very easy because we don't want you to get overwhelmed by, oh, this is too big, I can't do it. No. You know, if let's suppose, let me use this example. Let's suppose that you wanted to end hunger in the world. And you said, oh, my God, we've always had hunger. Look at Africa. Look at Somalia. Look at Ethiopia, the starvation. It's always gone on. There's nothing I can do. And you multiply that by 7 billion people. Then you have a story called, we've always had hunger, we've got hunger now, and we will always have hunger. Or you can say, okay, we've had hunger all these years, there's hunger now, and my commitment is the end of hunger. Period. Jeffrey Sachs, a developmental economist, works at Columbia, very smart man, wrote a book called The End of Poverty. And I've been following him for years, and what I love about him is the outrageousness, in one sense, of saying the end of poverty. But he has all these plans about how it can be done. But for me, what's more important is to put that language out in the world, the end of hunger. Mm-hmm. Or you said, you know, the end of violence against women, the end of illness, the end of illiteracy, the end of war, mm-hmm. The end of nuclear arms.
The end of
can
child
it be done?
Yeah.
The end of child abuse. Yes.
You know, and I think there's, if you're wondering what your heaven is on earth, you can't really, you know, something doesn't come right to you, open up the paper and look at, you know,
yeah,
all the things that are happening. My goodness. And I always, you know, really try to connect this, and I'm going to say this again. You please don't underestimate how you can change your life by helping somebody else. It is the most amazing feeling, and the reason why we're here to serve each other. I believe that so completely. And this is such a wonderful opportunity. And like Martin said, you, listeners, you don't have to really do anything but come up with the idea. Make it simple. Make your action items doable, and you'll stick with it.
Martin, I'm on Facebook, and I'm looking for Heaven on Earth. So I typed in search, and there's so many.
You want to look, Perla, for Project Heaven on Earth.
Mm. Project, okay.
There's only one of those.
So projectheavenonearth.com, Project
yep.
Heaven on Earth is Facebook, and spirit@workcreativevideo.com, April 2nd.
It's the video contest.
It's the video contest. And I have my michelle@michellecromer.com. If any of you have any questions, I can get those to Martin, or you can listen in next week, and we can answer any of your questions. But this just sounds like a very exciting project, Perla, and I think that we just need to really plug this every. Let's make this our project this year, Perla. Let's talk about Project Heaven on Earth every week and just remind people to do it.
Oh, I think that's a great idea. Yeah,
and that can be.
I love it. Thank you.
Of course, that can be our meaningful service project, Perla, and we can talk about, you know, just a little bit at the beginning of all of our shows what we're doing to bring heaven on earth to ourself. And if I want to eradicate violence against women, maybe I need to branch out a little bit more than just Ciudad Juarez. Maybe I should start thinking about my own backyard here in El Paso and just seeing what I can do. And I can help you with your wanting to eradicate the illness.
The thing that I want you to both to do is you just put out that notion, the end of violence against women, the end of illness. Keep putting it out. It'll strengthen you, and it'll make that possibility real in the world. What we've had is the possibility called it can't be done. We've always had violence against women. That's just the way it is. We've always had illness. That's just the way it is. Well, who says? Well,
exactly.
Who does that serve? Yeah.
Exactly. And when we bring that energy into our space and into our families, and listeners, the thing that we don't ever underestimate the power of showing your children how to make a difference and how to bring heaven on earth. And ask your children, what is heaven on earth for you? And make it a family project.
Watch what they say. They'll know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, listeners, that's what we're going to do this year. We're going to bring heaven on earth, and we're going to talk about this project, Heaven on Earth. And I can't believe that almost an hour has gone by, Perla. Can you believe it?
Oh, my, very interesting hour.
Very interesting. Well, Martin, I'm gonna repeat this again. ProjectHeavenOnEarth.com, Project Heaven on Earth Facebook, and listeners, you've got April 2nd to come up with what does spirituality mean to you, right, Martin?
Right. Right. Thank you, ladies, very much for this. And listen, I'm going to be talking about you now because here's. by you taking Project Heaven on Earth on as your project for the year, that gives me another example of some other way, another wonderful creative way that I can speak about.
Oh, definitely. We're going to, yes.
Yes, and we will be directing people to your site and to your Facebook all year. We give you that commitment. Because this
Thank
is
you.
Well, this is something very important. And can you imagine the difference that we can make in our own little way, Perla, by doing this? I'm really excited.
And people don't realize that, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. It could be simple.
Yes. And so
well, here's what's amazing to me. This woman in Lunenburg County, Nova Scotia, you know, Sue Bookchin, the penny a day idea to help end violence against women. And here we are talking about it in El Paso, Texas, and across the U.S.
Right.
Who knew?
Well, Who knew? That's right. Well, Martin, thank you so much for being our
thank
guest.
Thank you.
Evening. We're so honored to have you, and we're so delighted that you have brought this project to our awareness, and we are so delighted that we're going to be able to be speaking about this.
Thank you. And we want to thank Aliana Apodaca, who made all this possible.
Oh, yes, and I am actually having lunch with Aliana on Tuesday.
Lovely.
Yes, she's one of our dearest friends, and she is such an important person in our community. So thank you. I'll thank her for introducing me to you. So, Martin, have a happy new year, and we will keep you posted on our end how everything's going over here.
Maybe we have him back just to see how we're doing.
Absolutely.
I would love that.
Absolutely, Martin. Thank you so much.
Thanks, ladies. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.